A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The word of the Lord.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing now, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we want an obvious God. Sometimes we'd like a visible God, one we can see right there in plain sight. And then, wouldn't it be good? There'd be no room for doubt. There'd be no need for wondering. Especially after some of what we have all seen in recent days. Violence in schools, wars, natural disasters, deaths in our own community. And so a God that we could look in the eye and ask some questions of seems like a pretty good idea, doesn't it? That's not what we have, though. On this Maundy Thursday, when Jesus gives a new command, a new mandate for us to love one another as he has loved us, on this night when he institutes the Holy Supper where he gives us his body and blood, when he humbly serves those who will betray or abandon him, on this night, God is present. But he is hidden. See, this is one of the deepest mysteries of the Christian faith. In order to reveal himself to the world as the God who comes to save us, in order to reveal himself truly, Jesus hides his divinity. He takes up the towel and washes the feet of his disciples. Now, you have to know that this unpleasant job was reserved for the lowest of slaves. In a day when people walked in open sandals on sandy roads that were shared with all kinds of animals, the very one through whom the heavens and the earth were made acts like a slave. Why? Because it is in humbling himself that Jesus shows us how far he will go as God to save us. He lowers himself, makes himself vulnerable in order to make us clean. This foot washing is like a lived out parable of what will happen on the cross. With all his glory and power and rights stripped away in order to wash humanity clean and save us from the power of sin. Jesus is the God who hides in the likeness of a slave. And in that hiding, he reveals himself as the God who will go to any extreme to give his love to us. It's the same way with the meal. The sacrament of Holy Communion, which Jesus started on this night, turning the Passover celebration of deliverance from slavery into a new covenant of deliverance from sin and death. This is another place where God hides. What we will take and eat and drink, it looks, it smells, it feels and tastes like bread and wine. And when you take it, it is bread and wine, but it is also so much more. Jesus says, "This is my body. This is my blood." Martin Luther didn't try to explain this. What he just said is that Christ is present in, with, and under the bread and the wine. Not meaning that we need to turn the cup and the bread over to see where is Jesus, but rather that the very real presence of Christ is given to us in the bread. In the wine, Jesus comes. At the Lord's table, we are given his body and blood. Now, the Lord does not show up in all his glory and honor and power and might around the altar. And let's be honest, if he did, how many of us would dare to come forward? We'd be running in terror through the doors, and I'd be at the front of the line. The God we can see, God in all his glory and might, this is a God who is too big, too holy, too powerful for us limited human sinners. So he humbles himself, he lowers himself, he abases himself, coming to us in a way that we can receive him, hidden in the bread and wine. Very real, very true, but humbly, quietly. He comes to us not to condemn in wrath or to consume us in the fire of his holiness, but to forgive us with mercy and to feed us with his grace. Now you might be able to think where I'm going to go next, because it is not just to us gathered here tonight that Jesus comes. Jesus came for the salvation of the whole world. And so even as he comes to us freely and graciously as a gift, he also desires to come through us to the world. Jesus is not gone. He remains here to be found. He is hidden, yes, but he is here to be found in the community that he creates, the community that he fashions by his serving and his suffering, the church that he builds through the self-giving of his meal. God reaches out to the world through the church, which is the body of Christ, shaped and formed in the grace of the communion meal. And that's why on this night he gives us that command to love one another. See, the world has all sorts of wrong and very wounded ideas about who and what God is. That he is an angry rule giver. That he's a distant creator that takes a hands-off approach to the world that he made. Or maybe they think he's a great grandpa in the sky who either gives us everything we want, or if not, he's a complete failure and let's be done with him. Some people look at those pictures of God and they choose to believe instead there is no God. So how will they ever know that there is a God who is infinite love, who is perfect in mercy, who is the giver of life that is abundant and real and true? They will know through a community that embodies compassion and mercy and truth and life. The world needs a community that loves as Jesus loves us. A community where we will wash one another's feet and serve each other in humility. A community that can share the forgiveness that we ourselves have received. That's what the church is called to be. The place where Jesus can be found. Not always on obvious display, but hidden in acts of love and service. On this night, we receive words of forgiveness. Feet are washed. The body and blood of Christ is shared. God is here in all of this, hidden from our sight, but here for you. Jesus comes to you in forgiveness and life to make us into a community of love. Tonight, let us receive him joyfully, but also let us remember the cost of his gift. Not for us, but for Christ. To save us, he was humiliated, tortured, and killed on the cross. In that suffering, God is there, hidden, for our salvation and for the salvation of the world.